Thank you, Mike, for leading those songs, and Hal for reading the scripture for us. We're going to be in Jonah chapter 3. If you want to be opening your Bibles there, we're just going to look at the first few verses there in chapter 3, actually. Some of you remember watching the cartoon movie Pinocchio, and in the story, his father Geppetto, the woodcarver, ended up in the belly of a fish. But he had a little wooden table and a stool and a candle, and he had quite the nice event during his sojourn inside the well. In reality, the inside of a fish is no place to be. Jonah was 3 days and three nights in the belly of the fish, and for him it was a horrible, painful experience. It was a prayer-inducing experience. And it was from that dark place in his life that his prayer rose to God, and God heard that prayer, and God responded to that prayer, and the fish vomited him out. It says at the very last part of chapter 2, "And the Lord commanded the fish, and it vomited Jonah onto dry land." Now, we don't know how much time has elapsed between chapter 2 and the beginning of chapter 3. Jonah is now back on dry land. He's now back where he started from. But it's interesting that when God speaks next to Jonah, he says exactly the same thing. Look in chapter 3, verse 1. "Then the word of the Lord came to Jonah a second time. Go to the great city of Nineveh and proclaim to it the message I give you." Now God responded the same way, but Jonah reacted very differently. In verse 3 it says, this time Jonah obeyed the word of the Lord, and he went to Nineveh. It's an interesting thing that the message did not change at all. God said to Jonah at the beginning, "I want you to go to Nineveh." And now, after Jonah's ordeal, God speaks again a second time, and he says the same words again. "Go to Nineveh and preach the word." Jonah had taken a Mediterranean cruise, and he's back where he started, and he receives the very same orders the second time. And there's a really important lesson in this for all of us. God will not change his mind when it comes to our obedience. God's will is not bent by our disobedience. God, we're told, is the same yesterday, today, and forever. He's not like us. Did you know that we can be changed by disobedience? I've seen parents change in amazing ways. They'll tell their child to do something, and the child will rebel, and they'll renegotiate and change it a little, and the child will rebel, and they'll eventually work things around. And so eventually the child wins the whole situation. It's easy sometimes for us to get worn down. It's easy for us to change our minds. Who would have thought that our nation would ever adopt a law allowing babies to be destroyed in their mother's womb right up to the third trimester of pregnancy? Who would ever have imagined that right here in these United States we would ever adopt a law protecting and legitimizing same-sex marriage? We bend with the times. If we hear it often enough, if we're exposed to it on television, then we begin to slowly change. The public polling begins to change. And people begin to adopt that which years before they would have regarded as abhorrent. We bend with the times. We go with the flow. What was immoral and illegal in one generation becomes legitimized and acceptable in the next generation. Now, let me tell you, God is not like that. The things that God said were sinful 3,000 years ago are still sinful today. The expectations God had of His people back in Old Testament times, He has of godly people today in our present age. God does not change. Israel is the prime example of God's unchanging determination to require obedience from His people. Israel rejected His will. He told them there at Mount Sinai, I'll take you into this land. They could have been there in a matter of weeks, but for their disobedience. 10 of the 12 spies came back with a bad report. They created an insurrection against God. And so God said, fine, you go out into the wilderness and you take a few laps there in the wilderness while this older generation of rebels dies off. Well, they made the laps year after year after year. Still, they weren't ready. And finally, when that generation had died off, God spoke the same word again. He says, go into the land that I will give you. That's what He said 40 years earlier back at Mount Sinai. His will did not change. His command did not change. The people ultimately had to be the ones who changed. No, God's will is not bent by our disobedience. And the same message comes fresh to every generation. It's interesting that the message that God gave to Jonah, did you know that that message is the same today for us? Jonah was told, go to Nineveh and preach to those people the word of the Lord. Isaiah was asked of God, who will go? Now, he responded readily with those famous words, here am I, send me. Jesus said to His early disciples in Mark 16 and Matthew 28, go into all the world. He told them to teach the things that He had commanded them. You know, nothing has really changed. It's the same message for us today. We still are expected, just like Jonah, to share the word of the Lord with those who don't know Him. Not only has the message remained constant, so has the method. I think this is amazing. When you read through Scripture and we read back over these eons of time, God ordained from the beginning that His Word would be spread through preaching and teaching. And nothing has changed right down to our present day. God, for whatever reason, has chosen preaching as the vehicle through which mankind would learn His will and be prompted to obey His will. You read about Noah, and Peter refers to him in 2 Peter 2:5, and he calls him a preacher of righteousness. Noah, way back all that time ago, he was preaching to those people in his generation by what he was doing, by how he was living, and by what he was saying. All the prophets that you read of in the Old Testament, they were all preachers right down to a man. Jonah was told, go and preach to the people in Nineveh. In the limited commission, Jesus sent those followers out in Matthew chapter 10, and this is what He told them. He said, as you go, preach this message. The kingdom of heaven is at hand. In the great commission, in Mark 16, go into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. Now, there is a movement today that would minimize the role of preaching in churches. And there are some today who say preaching is an old-fashioned way to communicate the truths of God's Word, and that it's largely become ineffective with a lot of the younger generation. And there are those who would say we need to spend a whole lot more time in praise in our assemblies and song and such, and let's don't give such an emphasis to preaching during our assembly time. Or there are those that would say we need a lot more time where we have discussion and time like this and fewer sermons where there's just one person lecturing a whole crowd. And we might wish that God had chosen to save man through some other method, through song or through entertainment or through salesmanship or through state-of-the-art organization or through wisdom. But the bottom line, when you read Scripture, God says, I've chosen preaching as the vehicle, as the tool by which I will share my word with a lost world. God has ordained that preaching be the way that sinful man will be reclaimed. Now, I know that preaching at times and preachers are ridiculed, and that happened from the days of Noah when they made fun of him and his preaching. It's even used today in a negative kind of a way, a perjurative type of usage. People will say negatively, "I don't want you preaching to me." And that's a negative thing if you're ever accused of being preachy. And if you notice on television how most preachers are depicted, it's very rarely in a positive way in movies. That old movie about Elmer Gantry, and preachers are seen to be charlatans, and they're hypocrites, and they're dishonest, and even immoral people. And I admit that for many preachers, such a reputation is self-deserved. But in spite of the weaknesses of any man who would be a proclaimer of God's Word, who would dare to preach, listen again to these verses that talk about the crucial role of preaching, the role that God called Jonah to. Listen to these verses. 1 Corinthians 1, verses 20 and 21. Paul says, "Where is the wise man? Where is the scholar? Where is the philosopher of this age? Has not God made foolish the wisdom of the world? For since in the wisdom of God the world through its wisdom did not know Him, God was pleased through the foolishness of what was preached to save those who believe." Paul says again in Romans chapter 10, verse 14, "How then can they call on the one they've not believed in? And how can they believe on the one of whom they've not heard? And how can they hear without someone to preach to them?" And in 1 Timothy 4:13, "Until I come," he says to that young man, "devote yourself to the public reading of Scripture, to the preaching and to the teaching of the Word." And lest you think that this only applies to preachers, to Dwight and I or others who preach, and we've got a number of men who preach in this congregation, it doesn't just apply to those who call themselves preachers and who stand regularly in the pulpit. We are all, every one of us, given the same commission that Jonah was given. We are all to proclaim the good news as we have opportunity. Now, you may not stand before a congregation every Sunday and preach to a group of people, but you preach to some group somewhere every single day of your life. You know, it's interesting, in Acts chapter 8, when the persecution took place, you had all the preachers, all the church leaders there in Jerusalem. You know what happened to them when the church was scattered by the persecution? All the leaders stayed in Jerusalem. All the people, all these new Christians, they're the ones who scattered to all these different places. In Acts chapter 8, verse 1, it says, "All except the apostles were scattered." And in verse 4, it says, "Those who had been scattered preached the word wherever they went." They were the ones who began to go out sharing the good news of Jesus for the first time in those outer circles, those concentric circles that grew ever wider throughout the Roman Empire. Now, when God said, "Go into all the world and preach the gospel," He wasn't just talking to preachers or just to missionaries. He was talking to every one of us. God's message comes fresh to every generation of His followers. And it's the same old message. Same thing He said to Jonah. Go and proclaim. Go and tell the good news. Go and tell what God has done for you. Well, He doesn't send many of us to Nineveh these days, but He sends us to our families, and He places upon every parent the responsibility of sharing the good news of Jesus with their children, helping them to grow up to fall in love with Jesus. He says, go to your school, go to your best friend, go to the one you work beside, and share what you know of the good news of Jesus. Now, you may be like Andrew. Andrew said to Peter, "Come and see." And I am grateful because there have been people in these last couple of years who have come to Christ, come to a saving knowledge of Jesus Christ, simply because some of you have said to one of your neighbors or one of your friends at work, "Just come and go to church with me." And they've come, And they've met some folks, and that's resulted in a Bible study, and they have become Christians as a result of a simple invitation. Come and see. That's all Andrew did, and look what he got. Look at Peter. And I hesitate to ask the question, but I'm going to ask it, and you don't answer it out loud. How many people have you had a part in their coming to Jesus Christ, say the last year? How many people have you had an impact on positively to help move them closer to Jesus? How many people in the last 10 years of your life? How many people in your lifetime have you either led to Christ or had a part in sharing Jesus with them? You know, see, Jonah, he's not the only one who has said no and gone in the other direction to God's clear command to share the good news with this world. I'm just grateful that we serve a God who's patient, and a God who is merciful, and a God who does give second chances and other opportunities. It says, "Then the word of the Lord came to Jonah a second time, and Jonah went." So the question is, what about us? We've got the very same message from God that Jonah received. You know, it's not enough just to live it. I hope you do. I hope you're honest. I hope you're a person of integrity. I hope your neighbors would speak well of you. I hope you're kind. I hope you're courteous. I hope you exhibit the fruit of the Spirit in your life in front of those that see you. But it's not enough just to live a good life. Eventually, you've got to speak it. The word has to be proclaimed. And you may be an Andrew, and you can bring someone with you, and that's fine. You introduce them to any of the staff here. You introduce them to any of the elders, and we'll get a Bible study set up, and we'll sit down, and we'll share the good news of Jesus with those individuals. But my prayer is that we will all develop the heart of Isaiah. And when we hear that word from God, who will go? That we will stand up, and we will step to the plate, and that we will say, "Here am I. Send me." We're going to sing an invitation song, and I want to encourage, as always, anyone who needs prayer, anyone who needs to respond to the gospel to do so. But I hope that all of us will think strategically. We have a lost world all around us here. I hope that you think and that you pray regularly about individuals that you might have influence with, people that you know that maybe if the right thing is said, maybe family members, if somehow opportunity opens, that you'll see that door of opportunity and you'll speak to them. I hope that all of us are thinking and praying about those that we might be able to bring into a relationship with Jesus Christ. And so as we sing this song, think about that. And think about those who don't have the privilege and the blessing that we have every week as we gather together and enjoy the forgiveness of God. If you need to come tonight, we invite you to do that while we stand and while we sing.